Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man wa alaha ma ba'd. Today, inshallah, we will do a hadith from Sahih Muslim. That's a very profound and a very deep hadith. This hadith has had a lot of commentary about it. And it is a hadith narrated by Iyad ibn Himar. Iyad ibn Himar, this is his only famous hadith. He was not a companion who spent many, many years with the Prophet. In fact, he visited him only once. And his story actually is also interesting very quickly. Iyad ibn Himar actually visited Mecca before the beginning of Islam, and he met the Prophet ﷺ there before the beginning of Islam, when the Prophet ﷺ was in the Meccan, before Iqra came down, before he was announced as his prophet. And there was a custom of that time where some of the people who would perform tawaf, some of them, as you're aware, they would perform without anything on. As you're aware, the Quran mentions this. And another madhab that they had was that they would perform tawaf in the clothes of the people of Mecca. So they would have to find somebody to borrow their clothes, because their notion was, this is superstition, their notion was, the clothes that I'm coming to Mecca in are the clothes I've committed sins in. So I don't want to wear those clothes. And the people of Mecca are holy people, their clothes are fine. So it is said that Iyad ibn Himar, in this time frame, asked the Prophet ﷺ for his thawb to do Umrah in. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him before he became a prophet. And then he visited him in Medina in the year of delegation. This is now 30 years later, in the years of delegation. And at that time, he was with his tribe that are coming, but he had not yet accepted Islam. And he gifted the Prophet ﷺ a camel. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I shall not accept any gift from you as a mushrik. I'm not going to accept any gift from you as a mushrik. So he embraced Islam and then gifted the camel. This was an incentive. The Prophet ﷺ knew that he needed a push. That was the push. And he stayed with the Prophet ﷺ maybe a few days, and then he went back. And this is one of those hadith, or the most famous hadith he narrated. So he says in this hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, that one day the Prophet ﷺ gave us a sermon, a khutbah. By a khutbah doesn't mean Jumu'ah khutbah, it means a lecture. One day the Prophet ﷺ gave us a sermon, a khutbah. And he said that my Lord has commanded me to tell you what you do not know. My Lord has commanded me to tell you what you do not know. And then the hadith becomes hadith Qudsi. وَإِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي كُلَّهُمْ حُنَفَا. Allah says, I created all of my creation pure hunafa. The default is that my creation is pure. The default is that the human, the child, is good. This is the default. فَاجْتَالَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Shayateen came and snatched them, misguided them. Shayateen came and made them go left and right and commanded them to do shirk and commanded them to change haram and halal and halal and haram. Now this is a beautiful beginning, because the people that he's talking to, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are new converts, or maybe even some of them had not yet converted. Iyad had just converted. So what the Prophet ﷺ is saying, your original state was that of Islam. Isn't that what we say when a convert comes? Isn't that exactly what we say when a person converts? We give him that. This is where we're getting it from. The Prophet ﷺ is telling this new batch that in fact Allah Azza wa Jalla created you pure. And you are rediscovering your purity. You're coming back into the faith. إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي كُلَّهُمْ حُنَفَا. I created all of my servants حَنِيف, حُنَفَا. حَنِيف means they are turning away from shirk. حَنِيف means they are affirming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah describes Ibrahim, that Ibrahim was حَنِيفَ. And Allah says in the Quran, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطْرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا, that this is the fitrah that Allah created mankind upon. So the child is born حَنِيف upon the fitrah, as we all know. Then the hadith goes on. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى نَظَرَ إِلَى أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ عَرَبَهُمْ وَعَجَمَهُمْ فَمَقَتَهُمْ إِلَّا بَقَايَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Then Allah looked at the people of this earth and He despised them, the Arab and the Ajam, except for a small group of Ahli Kitab that still remained. What is happening here? What does this mean? The Prophet ﷺ is describing the era known as Jahiliyyah. This was one of the, if not the, worst eras of all of mankind, in which Tawheed, in which the worship of Allah had almost been wiped out from the face of this earth. There was no monotheism anymore. Everyone had been misguided, except baqaya min ahlil kitab. That's why we call the jahiliyyah. There was utter ignorance. And so, when Allah saw this state of affairs, what did He do? He sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet ﷺ was sent in the darkest of the dark era of mankind. There is only one jahiliyyah, that is the jahiliyyah before the coming of the Prophet ﷺ. With the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, the nur of Allah has come, the jahiliyyah has been eliminated. There is no longer jahiliyyah. The Prophet ﷺ's coming, the message of the Prophet ﷺ, it has obliterated jahiliyyah. So the Prophet, the hadith goes, and Allah said, I'm going to send you. So the response to jahiliyyah, the response to this Arab and Ajam, and the point being that Allah hated their shirk, Allah hated their misguidance, and Allah is not going to leave them in misguidance. So what is He going to do? So Allah said, I'm going to send you. لِأَبْتَلِيكَ وَأَبْتَلِيَ بِكَ. To test you, Ya Rasulullah, and to test mankind through you. To test you, meaning that you, Ya Rasulullah, as well are going to be tested, i.e., your patience is going to be tested. How people respond to you is going to be tested. And to test people through you, depending on what people believe or not, their iman and kufr, their jannah and nar, will be dependent on how they respond to you. لِأَبْتَلِيكَ وَأَبْتَلِي بِكَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that he be tested. Now in this we also learn, no matter how pious you are, tests are still going to be there. In fact, the more pious, the more the tests. This hadith says, لِأَبْتَلِيكَ. I have sent you, Ya Rasulullah, to test you. No one will be safe of tests. No one will live a carefree life. Everyone is going to have anxiety and stress and pressure. And the more anxiety and pressure, generally speaking, it can be a sign of more iman and taqwa. But what is he going to be sent with? وَإِنِّي مُنزِلٌ عَلَيْكَ. And I'm going to send upon you a kitab, a book. So you're not just going to come alone, Ya Rasulullah. I'm going to send you a revelation. Now the description of the Quran in this hadith is very interesting. La yaghsiluhu al-ma. Water cannot erase it. Yaqra'uhu na'im wa yaqadhan. The one who's asleep and the one who's awake will recite it. This is a unique phrase that is only in the hadith of Iyad ibn Himar. We don't find it in any other hadith. And it's in Sahih Muslim. I'm going to send you a book. This is in the hadith. The Prophet is telling these new Muslims, Allah sent me, لِأَبْتَلِيكَ الْأَبْتَلِيكَ, and Allah sent a book to me. What is the description of this book? It is a book that water does not eliminate. لَا يَغْسِلُهُ الْمَا. What does it mean, water does not eliminate? Some people think if you write Quran and put it in water, it won't eliminate. No, it is eliminated if you have regular ink or whatnot. What does it mean, water will not eliminate? Water elimination means, if you erase it, it will not disappear from existence. I.e., it shall be memorized in the hearts of men. Even if all the mushafs were to disappear, the Quran will not disappear. The Quran is going to be protected. How did, in the days of early times, how did they get rid of a book that erased it? There was no, you know, typo. There was no, what did they do? What did they use? They would use water. And if you put it in water, the ink would go away. So لا يغسله الماء means, I'm going to send you a book. It doesn't need to be preserved in writing. This is what this means here. It does not need to. What book is there in existence that doesn't need to be preserved in book form? What book is there in existence that doesn't need to be preserved in book form? There is no book except the Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in the Quran that بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيَّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. The Quran is clear ayat protected in the chests of men. The ultimate protection of the Quran is not the written copy, it is the hifz of the huffaz. And alhamdulillah, across the globe, from Alaska to Zimbabwe, from the entire east and west, Every community, mashallah, tabarakallah, is producing huffaz. Even us here in the lands that we live in, surrounded by people of different faiths and whatnot, mashallah, tabarakallah, we keep on churning out huffaz after huffaz after huffaz. And هذا بفضل الله تعالى علينا لا يغسله الماء. Water is not going to erase it. And then he said, يقرأه نائم ويقظان. The one who's asleep and the one who's awake, both will recite the Quran. What does this mean? Scholars have multiple interpretations. Some have said, it means the Quran shall continuously be recited 24/7. And it is. There is no instance that this world, nobody's reciting the Quran. It's always being recited. Some have said, it means that literally, as the hadith says, you shall recite it when you're awake. And even in your dreams, you shall recite the Quran. And there are many, many people, they will tell you that they had a dream and they're reciting Surah Yasin, Surah Rahman, and there's a reason for this. And they go to the Shaykh to get ta'wil of it. But in the dream, they are reciting the Quran from memory. In the dream. And there will be many, many people who will tell you firsthand this has happened to them. And this is something nobody can deny. It is well known. So the hadith could be interpreted at least one of two ways. Number one, people shall recite it day and night. And that is the case. And number two, you are going to recite it even in your sleep. And people recite it in their sleep. And then the Prophet ﷺ went on. The hadith is very long. We don't have time for every single phrase. Then the Prophet ﷺ went on and said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me to fight the Quraysh. I said to Allah, now again, these are the new converts, so he's telling them there's going to be problems, there's going to be war. So then the Prophet ﷺ said to Allah, oh Allah, they will decimate and destroy me. And Allah says, no, every time you go, I will send armies with you. In other words, I'll send the angels with you. And then the Prophet ﷺ finished this hadith by saying, and the people of Jannah are one of three people. So he begins with theology. He encourages them to accept Islam. He tells them there's going to be pressures ahead. And then he finishes them by telling them, adab and akhlaq. Who are the people of Jannah? Who are the people of now? The people of Jannah are one of three. Three are the main categories of Jannah. Number one, he said, a ruler who is just and generous. A ruler, sultan, muqsit. He is just. He has power, but he doesn't abuse the power. And he is generous. He gives of the wealth, that is, of the treasury, he gives upon the Muslims. That is category number one. Number two, he said, رَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ رَقِيقٌ. A man who's full of rahmah, whose heart is soft for every poor person and every member of his family. From where to where? A sultan, a soft-hearted person. Number two is رَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ رَقِيقٌ. A person who has rahmah, soft, raqiq, soft heart. And he feels compassion for the fuqara, for the masakeen, for his family members. You know, we cannot be ذو سلطان, neither do we want to be ذو سلطان. But every one of us can be the second category. Every one of us, we can have a soft heart. So the Prophet is saying, if you have a soft heart, you're a person of Jannah. And then the third one, he said, وَرَجُلٌ عَفِيفٌ مُتَعَفِّفٌ ذُو عِيَالٍ. That a man who is struggling financially, he has family, but his dignity does not cause him to beg, and he lives a dignified life, struggling throughout his life, and people don't know his struggles. He's managing, and he's not resorting to haram, and he's living a dignified life. And this too is a characteristic of iman, that you live as dignified as you can, and you keep your affairs between you and Allah. If you need help, you go to your khas friends and not in public. And then he mentioned the people of Jahannam, and it's a longer list, but of them he said, the arrogant. And he said, the one who is cheating, every opportunity he gets, he cheats and he backstabs. This is the person of Jahannam. And Khain, and also and he said the one who is I forgot the Arabic word, ja'dari, the one who is very vulgar is the way you translate it, always cursing, using things that in an audience would be very crude, and his obnoxious personality. Even the word ja'dari, I think about it, it's like it's a very obnoxious personality. This is a person of Jahannam. This is a beautiful hadith. That's the end of the hadith. It's a beautiful hadith. In it, our Prophet ﷺ encouraged converts. He gave them some basic theology. He told them life is going to get tough. There's going to be political battles. And then he concluded with basic adab. You want to be a good Muslim? These are the opportunities, and avoid these things. It's a beautiful hadith. Memorize it. Think about it. And if you want to look it up, you can just Google the hadith of Iyad ibn Himar. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make make us of the categories of the people of Jannah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيماً.